I'd always assumed that when the time came, I would meet menopause with a certain dignity. Not that the matter could ever have been said to consume me, but insofar as menopause presented only a shapeless threat on the distant horizon, it was easy and also comforting to entertain a noble vision of my future self, braced for its arrival, my head held high. It would not be welcome, but neither would I regret the stopping up of the bloody purges, more than 400 of them, that I'd endured every 26 days, year on year, since I was 13 and a half. When I looked ahead, I believed I would brave menopause, just as I had braved an unusually difficult pregnancy and childbirth that saw me frequently bedridden, twisted up in pain, and several times hospitalised. Compared to that experience, how bad could it be? As it was, menopause arrived with no preamble, being handed to me by apologetic surgeons like the booby prize in the hospital raffle. The surgeons had excised my uterus, which with its heavy load of fibroids weighed roughly the same as a bag of tangerines, and my ovaries had gone with it in a two-for-one deal. Approaching 49, I found myself barren and in shock. Whatever dignity, if so might be termed, the stuffing up of my fear, that I had momentarily mustered to sign the medical waiver, lay in tatters around the hospital bed. Afterwards, the surgeons had hovered uncertainly over me, not really knowing what to say other than to admire my wounds. "Everything looks nice and neat," they offered, smiling thinly, their faces blurry under electric lights. I thought my stomach looked like Frankenstein's monsters. The more senior of them was wearing a well-cut suit made of quality wool, with a matching buttoned waistcoat, not the usual white coat or surgical greens. I remembered reading somewhere that this bedside apparel was a deliberate signifier, meant to convey to patients and hospital staff alike that the good doctor was on his way out, that he had better places to be. I imagined my surgeon climbing into a slick-looking car and speeding away from the city, accumulating distance on all that suffering as his foot pressed the pedal, and plenty of fresh air to replace the stale stuff in his lungs. But perhaps that was my escape fantasy. The second surgeon, who looked no more than 17, was as unhappy as his colleague at having to spend his Saturday morning staring at my punctured stomach. I found myself trying to guess where menopause might reside in his consciousness. Young, male, intelligent, probably childless and with a mother likely younger than me, menopause must have moulded amid the neglected clutter of his mind's unlit basement, somewhere next to stamp collecting and cake decorating. Their manner was more kindly. "Come back and see us in 8 weeks," they said. The words had a pleasant ring, as if they'd really meant them. I made a mental note to the effect that I'd have to wait 2 months before I could start hormone replacement therapy, HRT. And so reassured, I sank into an untroubled sleep. Ever since I can remember, hospitals have given me the creeps. The moment I enter one, I start experiencing somatic pain. I have to gird myself before visiting a sick friend or relative, knowing that once I'm inside the building, the oncoming wave of sense impressions that together add up to hospital, the hot house lighting, white corridors, the smell of sterilizer cut with the acrid tang of blood, sends shooting pains coursing through my groin, sharp and snaking. It takes all my self-calming powers just to keep on walking. Yet this time it had taken very little to render me docile. My clothes being put away as I readied myself for theatre, some kind words, a butterfly settling pre-med jab. Briefly I had experienced a powerful urge to bolt as I stood outside the lift in my hospital gown and toeless surgery stockings, before being socked by the helpless knowledge that it was too damn late to run.